Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, I'm so delighted. Cooling out the conflagration, we welcome the return of Diana Beresford Kroger, one of my favorite humans in the world, and her latest book, Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of Forests, offered as a pledge enticement. Really, I've underlined almost the whole book. So, as many of you know from our past shows, Diana Beresford Kroger is a world-recognized author, medical biochemist, botanist, climate change visionary, truly. She possesses a unique understanding of modern Western science and ancient Celtic knowledge. Orphaned in Ireland in her youth, Beresford Kroger was educated by her Irish elders, who instructed her in the Brehon knowledge of plants and nature. We're going to dive into that. Told at a young age that one day she would need to bring this ancient Celtic knowledge to a troubled future. She's done exactly that. She's been working to preserve the environment since the early 1960s, when she identified climate change crisis as one of the most important challenges we would face in the modern age. This set her on a course of rigorous scientific study, where she achieved a master's in botany and two PhDs, one in biochemistry and others in biology. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, and I have underlined almost everything in the book. It's so wonderful and deep, because we're in a time of great, as you know. I mean, as you give voice to danger, grief, sorrow, and plucky defiance, right? Plucky defiance.
Yeah, and also the planet not being sustainable for what we want to take from the planet. You know, that worries me a lot.
Yes. And actually, where you end, I mean, I'll dance around, and you, of course, as you know, go anywhere you want at any time. But you end with poetry and prayer. And my late great ally Robert Bly said, "Bring in the poets and double the madness." And I love that. And it's and then I just want to invoke a fictional character, Granny Weatherwax, in Terry Pratchett's wonderful witch novels. And Granny Weatherwax is going to do some against all odds impossible thing to save the community. And she's told, "You can't do that. Million to one chance is against you."
Yeah.
And it's said that Granny smiled in a way that would make wolves whimper and said, "Million to one chances crop up 9 times out of 10, so bug off." And then she does the impossible thing.
Well, that's good. You don't get on off that easily in science.
Right. Yes. Well, so there's so much. There's so much. When you address the issue of geoengineering and the consuming madness of scientists and the hubris of geoengineering, Harvard and Bill Gates, I like to say, may the hubris of humanism be compost for the truth of animism. And there's wonderful Sir Herbert Reed, who said, "Only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology." Yeah.
And that gives me goosebumps, because that is really true. And you know, it's funny, you have a license to keep bees, but you don't have a license to do whatever you want to do with nature.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are, I mean, we look, as you do, you know, at the horror, and that we've outsourced leadership to the worst, the devolutionary nadir of cruel carnage, to, you know, outsourced it. No other species on this planet would do that, you know, and in this country, you know, the Dementors are, you know, planning to cut down 2 million acres of forest land, you know, and it's like, so we're calling on everyone rousing, rousing. And I guess part of your great ministry is, you know, knowledge equals intimacy equals respect. Yeah.
Yes, and it has to go that way, you know, man or woman. It has to be looked at in that way, because if you have the sentiment in your heart, it's not sufficient, really. You have to have the knowledge in your head, And for the audience listening to me right now, I will give you a line of reading to do. Would you please, at the moment, there are four books that I want you to look at. Go to the library. You don't have to buy them. Look at, please, Arboretum America, A Philosophy of the Forest. Please look at that, especially those in medicine. Then the next book I would like you to read is The Global Forest. That is the global condition of nature as we look at it from space. The third one is To Speak for the Trees. And if you're interested in old Celtic knowledge and all the Tomaic kind of Gaelga on Shah, I'm just saying to you, I'm speaking of this in Irish. There's a lot of old Irish backdrop to this book. And then, of course, my latest one, Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of the Forest. So there are the four books. Please look at that, because we have to have that information in our hand if we're going to make any argument to fix nature. We have to do that, all of us, every single one of us.
Yeah. Yes, and then just to add, you know, the among the last words that John Lewis left to us, wonderful human, he says, do not get lost in a sea of despair, do not become bitter or hostile, never ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary mm-hmm. trouble. I think that's very you. We will find a way to make a way out of no way, and he says, you must be able mm-hmm. to do what you can. When you see something that's not right, not fair, not just, say something, do something, get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble.
The human family, all of us, every single one of us, has the fluidity of us in just like a river. One way you'll find one way to do something, but other people will find other ways, a better way. And respect people's opinions and go with that. Know what's right and know what's wrong, because all of us are looking for liberty. The whole lot of us are looking for liberty and also for peace. We want to make this a good go on the planet. This is our only home. And we want to do it properly. All of us do. There's the odd speck out there in the horizon that would not agree with us. But let's make this very plain to people. The ancient way of thinking in the Brehon Laws, and the Brehon Laws were pre-Magna Carta, and the Brehon Laws were there around the time of Christ, and they were written about the year 300. And they take in even divorce, they look at divorce on the 2nd of February. If a woman does not like the stance of a man in her home, she can divorce him. Or if you destroy somebody's property, you have to repay that. And the concept of sustainability is in those laws. Those laws are pre-Magna Carta, and now they are being looked at again in Ireland, in the courts in Ireland, and thinking maybe we should take some of these laws and look at them for the protection of nature, in which the trees and the forests were called sacred, and the sacred name for them was Unbwilla. And Unbwilla were all the trees that give medicine. And you know, we can't exist without this.
Yes. And you also embody what John Lewis said, we must use our time and our space on this little planet that we call Earth to make a lasting contribution, to leave it a little better than we found it, and now that need is greater than ever before. And your dedication is strong. And happy birthday tomorrow.
Yes, I'm getting ready to celebrate my birthday, and I make everything I can do to celebrate my birthday, and everybody should do that. I think it's just fantastic. It's one day of the year. Well, I will enjoy myself. And by the way, I like a little drop of whiskey, a Glenmorlach or Glenfiddich, or one of the Welsh whiskies, a tiny drop of that. That's good for the soul too, you know.
I haven't... I have an Irish whiskey called Writer's Tears that I'll have
Oh,
a little.
Writer's Tears. Oh, yes. People come in and give me a bottle of Writer's Tears. You
it's
know,
pretty great.
This
it's pretty great, and it's a beautiful bottle, too. And so I will toast you.
Yeah.
I will toast you after the show, because we just had the new moon about an hour ago, and it's the
yeah.
new moon is right where the sun was when you were born. So this is also your birthday. This is your solar return today, and you get your birthday tomorrow, but it's all now.
Yes.
So Irish Tears, toast of that, you know, full creativity. So everything going on in the world now is in your magic backpack for the year. We go, okay. So, you know,
well,
just
yes,
something that
true.
We talked about. I'm sorry, say what?
That is really true.
Yeah, yeah. Right, no, it is. Well, in all of us, but especially in Diana right now, because it's like the new moon, powerful Leo creativity. We can do this. And I told you before in some past shows, but it's too wonderful that there are metaphors, poetry metaphors for each degree of the zodiac, and the image for your Venus at 10 plus Leo is children swinging underneath the shade of a huge oak tree, the borrowed strengths of all spiritual traditions, reaching back in time to nature mysticism. Isn't that perfect?
That is perfect. That is perfect for me. I love children, all children. Everybody's child is my child. And I look at it that way when I'm doing all my work. And I put my ego on an altar because I know what I'm doing is going to benefit the children of the future. That's priceless. That's a priceless
and
thing to do.
And oaks, you say there's 600 species. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
The,
sorry.
On that is they're one of the most sacred trees of the Celtic culture, and in fact, it is one of the answers to climate change. It has the ability to actually take the UVA, UVB, UVC into its body itself, and demoralize that radiation into a form of photometry, if you want to think of it that way, and energy. And right now, quantum mechanics is looking at axions, and I think the Andar, the oak, Sanskrit can be too, Andar is Sanskrit also. I think the oak can give some answers to that. So you boys in Berkeley, listen up, and for heaven's sake, read those four books, because that'll give you an idea of how we can also think of saving the planet.
Right, and the last time I hosted you, and people were so charmed by this, you have it in this wonderful, wonderful book too, Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of Forests. You're like, women, take your men out into the forests and have them strip down, and bathe in it, or strip down as much as social propriety will allow wherever you are, because that you said that forest bathing, which is a whole chapter, but. But you said
yeah.
that will just guide us into the charmingness of men strip down and go into the forest. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm very serious about this. Now let me track for you some of my research. I made the synthetic blood for tissue transplanting. That's my work. I made this tissue, the artificial blood, and it's non-typing blood with its own density without. A clean version of that can go into the bloodstream and also give a boost to all kinds of things. It is now used for the delivery of anti-cancer material into the body. That is my work. So I have worked very, very hard in medicine, and I refused a professorship of medicine to do what I'm doing right now. This is very important to me. This is really, really important. Now, you gentlemen, the ladies can put their fingers in their ears if they wish. You have in California some extraordinary species, and the species are the sequoia species, and you have to plant more of them as water sequesterers for the whole long line of California. Now, the sequoia dendrons and the sequoia sempervirens are fantastic, fantastic species of trees that grow up to maybe in the past over 400 feet. They are extraordinary, but they produce a compound which actually will cause the cancer of prostate cancer to commit suicide. So what I am saying to you, gentlemen, gentlemen, will you please do this? Go into the forests, and God knows in California there are very few forests left. I know there are very few forests left because I've been in most of them doing collecting and so on and so forth. Go in and keep your hair, don't put anything on your head. Keep your neck open, your arms open, and your legs should be bare. And go in early in the morning when the mist is rising and stay there until noontime. And you will have this compound will go on the surface of your skin, and it has fixer compounds, and fixers as in perfumes, will fix it onto your body, and you will get the exact dose per gram that you need to have to actually help and shield your body against these cancers. Now, please do not wash yourself. Do not take a shower for that day. You want it fixed into the body. You want it going into the fat tissue of the body, going into the circulation of the body. So it actually acts as a full shield, a shield in your actual body itself. So then the day after, please, you can take a, you know, swim in the water or whatever, wash yourself or whatever. If you're doing that, please do that. Because your children need you, your wife needs you, your companions need you. And just do it to keep yourself healthy. And you have it right there on your doorstep. And I will ask the people of California to please plant more sempervirens, more redwoods. And it will be very, very healthy for you. And it also acts as a fire shield. Not a fire shield when they're very young, obviously a fire shield when they're older. And get rid of the eucalyptus species that you have on the coastline of California, because they can sheet fire when the temperatures go over 48 degrees. It is a phenomenon in physics that happens. It's called the closed cup experiment. And you don't want that. It just kills me when I think that you're open to this kind of problem, and it's so easy to fix. Then plant the Quercus Douglasii, the blue oak. You have this wonderful spreading blue oak that solidifies the fine areas of California that are open to slipping, the soil slipping into all kinds of roadways. It firms up the soil and makes it an easier place to work with and to build your houses on. And imagine you can do that. All you have to do is go and get an acorn from a blue oak, find a blue oak around you, get the acorns and just plant them. Go and plant them right now and mark them and put a little dash of baking soda on top of the oak before you plant it, because that takes the smell, the scent of the oak away from all those awful squirrels that want to take it and retransplant it into their stomachs, if you know what I mean.
Well, we might leave some for the squirrels. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, and then I'm very fond of squirrels, so we might leave some over to the right for them. But yes,
well,
no, again,
they're nature foresters, aren't they? You know,
they are. They're very, and they're very communicative. You know, an individual.
Exactly.
You're like, hello, and they're like, where are the peanuts? I do feed them every morning. Yeah. The cardinals, the blue jays, everybody. I feed everybody, but I certainly don't discriminate against the squirrels. Going, there you go, you cute little.
I'm going to ask your public to look at something too. This past year, as a result of last year, it seems to me that the canopies of all trees, the leaves and the canopies of the trees are much, much larger. They are all across Canada. And I suspect that in the United States, going down into Mexico, you have the same phenomenon. It is as if the trees know there's some jeopardy in the climate. It is very, very interesting for me to see this. So I'm asking the public to just walk maybe under the trees and try to remember what they looked like last year. Because here in Canada, it's a phenomenon that goes from coast to coast. So that's a good thing. The trees are being smart. they're learning to make a greater solar foliage because they actually farm the sun for their photosynthesis. So that's a good thing. And if it's happening in the United States, well, it's something that'll cheer you up when you go for a walk.
Yes, that's right. Well, I mean, part of where I started underlining was really right from the get-go to understand you, right, who you are. You must know your history. This is your story, your entry into the Eden of the living world. But it's also the story of life as we understand it. Like that life, it is unique and shared. And you take us on the plant kingdom, and infinite useful things. You know, trees here for 400 million years, and then you say, you know, FDR planted honey locusts to alleviate droughts, and it's like,
yes.
Ooh, not a perfect person, but a good person. More leadership models like that. You know, to take the men out into the woods. You know, and to encourage positive Mars Yang masculinity. And so FDR planting honey locusts to alleviate droughts, that was a good thing, you say.
That was a fantastic thing because that was in the dirty 30s. And it seems to me there seems to be a kind of an automatopoeia there in the world where if you have hard times, and I think for many people in the United States there are hard times and there will be hard times coming up. Well, that is expressed also in the climate. And the climate looks to be changing. We all know that there is climate change and we are actually going into the middle of it. It will get worse. The tornadoes, there will be walls of tornadoes coming up the American continent. There's no doubt about that because the heat of the tropics and the cold of the northern cold is being reduced. So yes, they're going to waltz up the continent for us. But what is very important is to look at this and say we can do something about it, because FDR did do that. He knew there were very, very bad days and the soil got really dry and the farmers are having a heck of a time managing and trying to grow food, which incidentally is very important for everybody. And so he planted all of these Gledizia triacanthus species all across the farming areas, and it saved the soil. It was a soil saver. But the one thing about those, the seeds of those trees, which is very interesting and used to be used and in some parts of the United States is still being used as a fodder for milking cows, it increases their ability to milk. It probably increases their oxytocin and the dropping of milk by the cows. So that's one thing. But the other thing you can do with the seeds and the beans in the seeds, the seed casings, there are maybe 12 beans in the seed casing. And when you put them into water, they get very large, as big as the nail on your thumb. They're very large. And you can grind them, dry them, grind them, and use them as a flour. They can be added to other flours from other sources. And you get a wonderful peanut-tasting kind of flour. Nobody does that. I mean, why not? Why can't we have artisan flour and all kinds of interesting things that can be grown in the United States? Because you've got a 20% increase solar exposure than any other part of the world. So it's a unique country. It's a unique place we're living in.
Right, and you pay great homage to First Nation people and acorns and acorn flour. You said was a preventative of famine, you know, again, but so many famine places have cut down all their trees, but acorns, and you honor the jubilation of biodiversity. Oh, listening citizens, you know, this book, this wonderful book, Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of Forests, which I'll just do a little pitch right now. I'll do more at the very end of the hour, but you can have this it's wonderful. For a pledge of $125 to keep this station alive and this show alive by calling 1-800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. So, yeah, because there's so much in this book. There's so much in this book. It's so wonderful. The whole chapter on which you've addressed a little bit, wrong trees in wrong places. Right.
Of course, those are the eucalyptus going in. They're wonderful for Australia, but they're no good for California. They're no good for the United States. Because what happens is that the leaves do not fall off the tree. It's the bark falls off. It's a bark felling tree. And so the bark falls off and it's full of resin, eucalyptol resins, and they flash fire. And so if somebody is on a motorbike or in a car and throws a cigarette or something into the side road, that can actually start a fire very, very easily. And the person who's thrown the cigarette away doesn't really realize this. And it can cost vast fortunes for ordinary people. And then it can cost lives too. So what you have by way of your heritage species, there's nothing better on earth than what you have. It's just fantastic. So I think that we should rethink and replant our global forests because look up into the sky and you have raw material in the sky, two types of raw material. And what's up there is carbon dioxide, carbon and oxygen, carbon dioxide. It's a small molecule. You look up there and you can't see it. It's invisible, of course. It's up in the sky and it's being layered out in the sky in the atmosphere. And you think, why in heaven's name is it there? It is there. It is causing climate change. It is causing problems with weather patterns because too much forest has come down. A forest is a molecular machine. It is the most extraordinary machine that is the apex of nature itself, just like the whales are apex of nature. The forests that California has are the greatest in the world. And so much of that forest has come down. And that forest sucks up carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere like crazy. You look at a sequoia. You look at a sequoia and you see the size of it. The blinking things are monsters. If you put a sequoia on a weighing scales, one big sequoia, and then you try to get human beings on the other part of the scales, it would be about 13,000 people would balance the weight of the sequoia. And 13,000 people is a town. So you could put a town on one side of the scales and then the sequoia on the other. Have you ever thought about that? That is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. But what it does is it looks after the aquifers underground. And the aquifers of clean, potable water are really being run down. We have less and less of those in the planet. And so if you plant sequoias, they're like great big green bottles condensing water into the ground and enabling them to fertilize themselves. And the fertility of a sequoia is up at the tip of the sequoia, not down at the bottom, it's up at the tip. I mean, you've got the most fantastic species in California. And as a matter of fact, I was talking a couple of people in California about how they should take their native species and put them into their gardens and plant them and just encourage everybody to do that. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there you are, you know, your arboretum is Noah's Ark. And I know you're in near Ottawa, right? And the fires are around you, yeah?
Yes, they are. Yes, and of course they're the predictions, aren't they? They're the predictions is that the world will burn, and I have been told that, and there will also be drowning. So you have rivers in the sky, and why you have rivers in the sky is the photosynthetic reaction is carbon dioxide plus two molecules of water, and the energy from the sun, the farming energy from the sun, will give you oxygen, the molecule of oxygen, plus a molecule of sugar and water again. And that water is released, and that water multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. And this whole phenomenon affects the lack of labile compounds going into the atmosphere. The lack of them causes changes in the weather itself, and the moisture in the weather has got nowhere else to go except to thunder down onto the land. And so we are increasing our rivers from the sky by not planting the forests. And as a matter of fact, you know, as a matter of fact for California too, there's another aspect of this which is very important and was discovered really with a friend of mine, Katsuhiko Matsunaga, who is the top marine specialist chemist in Japan. All of the humic acid from all of the trees that you have in California, you're the people who are the guardians of the whales, in actual fact. The humic acid dissolves in water, and what it does, it chelates iron out of the land that you have, because the land is high in iron and the sea is low in iron, and it goes out onto the oceans in the Pacific Ocean on your shelf, that area there just near to the land. And the humic acid then drops the iron into the water, and it is a nighttime, it's a nighttime catalysis for all the crococales, camosiphonales, naspicales, all of the little small species of seaweed out in the ocean itself. And that is the forest of the ocean. That is the great forests that are in the ocean too. And they can multiply and divide. And that's why we have fish. That's the food for fish. And fish are getting less and less and less in the ocean now. But it's because the forests have come down, because that little reaction of nitrogenase enzymes is needed in the darkness to put muscle into the algae. Nobody thinks of that. Everything
until now. And I think it's so crucial because, you know, at this time of being messengers, and you are such a profound message or messenger for all that you love. Plant trees, and detailed things in this marvelous, marvelous book. You know, and then for all of us to be messengers, the more we know, the more ways of participating. It's like, did you know about 8,000 things that Diana Beresford Kroeger has mentioned? Because nobody minds being asked, did you know, unless we ask it in a snarky way. You know, and I love also, did you know, here's from your book again, there are trees of one sex and species with the organs of both sexes living on different parts of the tree. There are monogamous trees and polygamous trees. There are trees that perform the miracle of virgin birth, parthenogenic reproduction. And in sub-Saharan Africa, there are whispers of a male tree able to produce a set of viable seeds. Sexuality is fluid in a forest and leads to its continued reproductive success. Right, yes, more diversity, more sexuality, more everything. And then this crucial theme about community. There's this poignant chapter, paragraph about foxglove and how it's lonely without its community. It's a survivor stripped of community because managed means poisoned monoculture. But can you say, because it's so resonant, everything you say is resonant into every sphere of life. So the foxglove is lonely without its community. What's happened to its community?
It needs that light shade. And the community of the foxglove was in Europe, in Ireland. Some of you who have been in Ireland or who have come from Ireland, you can go all along the hedgerows in Ireland and you'll come across some foxgloves. And as a child, I used to, they're like little bells. You stick your finger in the little bells. I loved those. And I still love them. I have them in the garden here, the foxgloves. You know, and of course, you know that's a very strong medicine from foxgloves, digitalis for heart regulation, you know that. So they're very important. But they were always found at the edges of forests. And of course, in Ireland, Ireland lost its forest because of the 500 years of appalling treatment that the Irish people had. But there's the odd little patch of foxgloves around. And they look and they stand and they're waiting for their trees. They're waiting for their tree companions. And as a matter of fact, I have them in the garden. And when I go out and look at them, when I go out and even plant them, they're so vigilant in their growth. They're so vigilant in looking for just a tiny bit of shade. And they'll squeeze into that tiny bit of shade and they'll grow magnificently up to about 5 feet. Oh my God, they're fantastic. So and going back to the sexuality of trees, this business of pointing sexuality in human behavior. Look, closet, whatever you are like, is very important. Look at Michelangelo. Look at the great, the geniuses, the genies of our time. They were people of multisexual origins. I mean, it's a wonder that we don't sit down and start looking carefully at what is around us. What we have around us in the trees is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal thing, but it's also a diverse way of having progeny, or caring for progeny, or caring for the species who care for progeny. And that's very, very important. You can't just put a stamp down and say, oh, you're no good and we're not going to employ you and blah, blah, blah. No, let's be honest about this. Some, if not all of these people have a genius in them that we need. We need that. We need that experiment to be part of our lives. And maybe it might open our minds to other kinds of thinking. And if you are a scientist, like I am, you should open your mind and look at all things evenly. You'd be surprised what you'd come up with.
That's wonderful. And because that's so great. I mean, there's so many things we want to get to. Our time is short, but I yearn to have tea or share some writer's tears Irish whiskey with you and or come back to the show, because this is so rich. But so I'm going to jump around a little bit too, because you mentioned when you and your beloved husband bought a 100 acres of extra land, yes, thinking that would be good. But then you said, but there's deer, and the deer bring men, and the men bring, or it brings hunters, and they bring hounds, and they bring guns. Mm-hmm. And there was extraordinary cruelty that you delineate, but, yes, and then I'm going to hand it to you. Here you go. You know, and they were sniggering and cruel, and not being responsible about the deer that they'd yes, horrifically injured. And so you went indoors, and you got a bell, a book, and a candle.
Yes.
You said you had been trained to counter evil.
Yes.
You walked to the gate and began the ancient incantation of, I don't know how to pronounce that.
It's called Andrachra. Andrachra. I'm saying this in Irish. Dra is means bad, or really, really a bad, a curse. It's a curse. Ara is a curse. And essentially it's a wish. And it's a wish of training. It's a wish of something that I was taught how to do. And it's like it's something like telepathy, and it holds telepathy within it. And I don't like to use this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it at all in myself, but I do know that it's strong. But really, really what happened is they had shot the deer in its stomach, and the intestines had spooled around its front legs of the deer, and the deer was in awful agony and came to the door. And the deer did a nonverbal communication with me. The deer said to me, you're a surgeon. And I said, yes, I am a surgeon. And actually, I am too. And said, can you fix me? And I said, oh, no, I can't fix you. Mm. I can't fix you, because I don't have the thread to hold you together. I don't have the anesthetics to hold you down. I don't. But the men who had shot the deer and thought this was terribly funny, oh, my God, the agony of the deer was just terrible. And I got the bell, the book, and the candle. The bell, that has to be a glass bell. And that glass bell has to be rung. And the rung, the book is a Bible. And the candle is the candle of light, for all light, for the whole world to see knowledge. And I went up there, and I didn't think it would work. I was so angry. I was so angry at the agony of the deer, and that they thought this was funny. And I went out there to them, and they thought this was a joke. And I rang the bell. And I went into a translocation of thought into mind to these men. And I placed the drachra on them. And then, as I did the drachra, all of the mist came down out of the air and followed all of us round, and it encompassed all of us. And I'll tell you something, it scared the blazes out of all of those men. And then I went off to an older man that I knew had lived, who was a farmer, and I told him what had happened, and I asked him if he would come with his gun and put the deer out of its agony. And that was the most awful day of my life. That was horrible, horrible, horrible. But the Dhruhra works, and it does work. And it's part of the ancient ceremonies that were used around the time of Christ. And I was taught those different ceremonies, and I don't like using them. But when I do use them, they work. They really work.
And what you said was, the dense mist enveloped us all, seemed to hold time in its clutches. And you said, this farm, this land under our feet is holy. Here in this place of memory, the ancestors sleep lightly. And you said the men heard the ancient tongue, though they did not understand the words. They got the intention, and the brave hunters never returned to the killing ground. So
That's right.
We don't like using it, but there's a place, and you've earned that. It's not for people to bandy about at all, But I thought that was powerful when we're addressing cruelty, And then, before I reluctantly let you go off to your 2-day birthday celebrations, at least, you're saying sacred springs, the healing power of sacred springs, the stewardship of First Nations, and over everyone, plant trees that are indigenous to the land, plant trees, the aspen is quivering. And what's the word for aspirin? I wrote it, aspen. I wrote it down, but I can't possibly say it in Gaelic. C N A M H.
Aspen. Yes. Yeah. Well, never mind. What I was going to say to you, what I was going to say to you, was that we should not forget. This is a very important statement, and please, people, remember this. Water was always considered in the ancient world to be sacred. Water. That's just water, and in Gaelic, it's called Ishka. And the whiskey, Ishka Baha, is the whiskey of life. But I'm talking about real potable water. We cannot have real potable water. Our water resources are going down. We cannot have them without forests, because forests are distilling. They distill water out of the air, pure, pure water that you use in a lab. You can use this in a laboratory. It is distilled water that you can use. And we all do use it. The next wars that will be on the planet will be about water. So if you want to avoid wars, plant trees, because trees will give us water. Trees will fill up the aquifers again. Trees will actually balance the atmosphere and balance the north and the south into cold and heat. So it's a simple thing to do. If all of us do this, many of us do this, plant trees. And this is starting to happen all over the world. We will have water. There will be no water wars. And we will be safe and we will be free. It's worth thinking about.
We hear, we honor, we implement your words, your dedication. And then you say again, the herbaria cloning, and you say so many things here, but the haploid cells of the entire global forest can sit in a freezer the size of a kitchen table to await a better future as a super forest, a global one.
Yes, and to save the forest, we have to have something to fall back on. And I am trying to find somebody who is very wealthy. Now, the last man that I talked to back this financially, he has seven different hedge funds, right? And he thought maybe he might help me to make this stem cells of all the forests. But he said to me, when I asked him, I said, well, what do you think? He said, well, I don't make enough money about this. And I said, look, this is not about money. This is about life. This is about people living, being able to live. And I said, are you married? He said, yes. I said, do you have children? Yes, I do. Do you have grandchildren? He said, yes, I do. I said, what you're doing is you're stealing the future from your grandchildren. Do you care about this? He said, well, I'm not making enough money. So
that's a theme
I am
that
still
is
looking.
But we are reaching out to yes, anybody, get in touch with you can get in touch with Diana and or through me, Coyote Network News. I'll pass it on .com.
Yeah.
I'll pass it on to Diana. Absolutely, we would like, you know, philanthropists and also just people planting trees. And Diana's
exactly
fabulous.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Say what?
That's what I'm doing right now. But it's very important to have the stem cells of all of the trees. And, the legal aspect of it is important, too. Each country has to have their own stem cells to fall back on. And nobody can touch them. This is for everybody. It is the inheritance of all people on this planet. And for the creatures that can't speak, for the creatures that need all of these trees, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. And please don't tell me I'm not making enough money. This is not about money. This is about making sure that the future is stable for all of us, especially for our children and the people who need to know right now that there are people on this planet who are thinking the way I'm thinking. And I
yes.
am thinking of protecting you for the future.
Mm. All right. I'm going to let you go to your birthday celebrations. We are with you. We are with you. Blessings, your dedication, magnetize not money, but wealth in whatever form it needs. You know, and absolutely.
I'll give you a bit of wealth. This is an ancient Sean Fockel, and it's an ancient piece of wording from the old world at the time of Christ. Beg bielat, agus gemek tunyo, agus genairitu. May it be that the divinities walk with you, and may you be healthy, and may you rise with this health within you and do great things. This is considered to be a mantle prayer for all people, and all those listening will get protection from those words. Those are the words of the ancient world.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I reluctantly let you go, but more soon later, because this is so rich. All right, team, that is our wonderful, wonderful guest. And now I want to dedicate to keeping our station and this show vital, thriving. You know, I offer with unconflicted enthusiasm. It's the primary thing we're offering as an enticement. You know, the show, of course, itself, Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of Forests by Diana Beresford Kroger. You know, her website is by dianabaresford-kroger.com, with maps of where you live and what trees to plant. She's indefatigable. And again, you know, we just touched on a teensy bit of what this book offers. It's short and pithy, but as I said, every page I pause to ponder, you know, and the poetry and peace and the prayer as well. So here we are. It's a prayer. So we're offering this book, Our Green, it's very moving, Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of Forests. It is so wonderful. It's so essential for self, for others, for libraries, for schools. It's completely understandable. It speaks directly to our heart, you know, our memory going, yes, that's true. Yes, I know, I didn't know that, but that's a wonderful thing to know. The interconnectedness of everything and her ardent, you know, plant trees, we can do this. Save trees. You know, and so here we are, team. 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. We're at such an extraordinary time. You know, I just launched my shift course. That's all happening over there. And then I was inspired going, okay, I'm getting tricked into getting organized, but I am doing Bodhisattva Coyote Astro Mytho Participatory Mentoring for 13 people. We have three slots left at coyotenetworknews.com. You can go there for more information. But the reason, and here we are, the reason is that the Sky Earth Guiding Story is so full of opportunity for dedicated communication. It's like greased lightning. You know, and we want to animate it in the most desirable way, lest we leave it by default to the dementors, you know, are happy to take over the, you know, information media technology. But no, we're here. And I'll just say it briefly and then continue to exhort. So here's this new moon in Leo just hours ago, minutes ago. It is exactly in cahoots with Uranus, trickster genius, just now in Gemini, the power of communication, the power of words, the power of poetry, the power of prayer, power of independent media. That's literally what it says. You know, there goes Colbert, you know, but not till May. And, you know, he has nothing to lose now. And we're all inventing ourselves, keeping the free flow of crucial community information going. You know, and it's trickster is backing us up with all this creativity. So everyone here, you know, absolutely 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. Plenty of thank you gifts, plenty of worthy thank you gifts. Great book by Tim Weiner on the CIA. There's that thing. It goes. Paul Stamets's book on psilocybin mushrooms. That's useful too. But really, I'm just dedicated. Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of Forests by Diana Beresford Kroger. For a pledge of $125, and also just any old amount, you know, whatever we do. Leo says, the new moon in Leo says, create theater or live melodrama, create ritual or live melodrama. So we want to throw melodrama into the cauldron, and a ritual is not some hokey thing that somebody tells you what to do. It's any physical thing we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism. So this is magic too. By the making of this phone call, by the pledging online of this money, modest or surprising, you know, all is welcome. All is welcome. You know, may it be that independent communication and media and community, you know, thrive through this time, because, you know, we're in Act Four, right? So each tragedy yearns for redemption. The five-act structure of storytelling is basically Act One, here we are, Act Two, away, woo, Act Four, Act Three, oops, Act Four, evil, yeah, where cruelty, so much, the cauldron of sorrow, the cruelty. So it, you know, but it magnetizes Act Five with us as its agents. We're all here crafting the redemption. You got to go all the way down to here it is. We got to know how terrible it is. But redemption lies in brewing medicine and words for others, right? It is our dedication. It's Diana Beresford Kroger's dedication. It's the dedication of this show. For 30 years, holy moly, Visionary Activist Show has been on KPFA for 30 years, and KPFK now. Hi there. so exhorting, you know, but so let me just say again, 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. So the new moon, sextiles, creative cahoots with Uranus, in Gemini, ingenuity. All that she says, we're in a time of, you know, potential, remarkable ingenuity. And what we've been doing here for 30 years is critique and solution. Here's a horrible problem. Here's somebody doing some really great, ingenious cooperate with nature to resolve it. We are wealthy with solutions. We know how to do this. This is our Act Five. And we know that most people in America hate the cruelty being visited upon our neighbors. They hate it. So we've outsourced Saturn authority to tiny dementors, right? But so here we are, community rising, aroused, like agents of Big Mama on behalf of all we love in nature. You know, and 72% of the countries in this world are autocratic, not the people, the governments, right? And it's like, okay, but everywhere, this is a global movement that does not just humans, right? And so we're pledging on behalf of what we love. So the new moon, sextiles Uranus, Uranus sextiles Saturn and Neptune, dedicated vision, dream big, play fair, see the desirable. Sextiles Pluto in Aquarius, the community, whose image is deserter from the military following their own wilderness path, following their conscience. Yep, people are quitting ICE. We want to open that portal. We want to use all of our action and all of our vision, all of our visionary activism, you know, to see those portals opening. You know, you poor, you know, ICE people, whatever, in servitude to cruelty. You know, oh, you poor National Guard in LA. Here's a taco and a much better story. Come on over here. Here we are. We're engaged in animating the irresistible, all-inclusive, desirable story. We can do this. We can do this to speak to everyone's conscience. And then Pluto trines back to Uranus. It's an extraordinary pattern of availability. Doesn't require believing in. Just see if it hums in you. That out of this cauldron of death and cruelty, we could label, you know, true equality, equality, democratic animism around the world. And so that's a part of what we're up to here. So team, let's see how we're doing. Not terrible. Thank you. That's right. I'm just checking in on us. Thank you, Julie. Terrible times, and we have to keep going about the best we can. Wendy, thank you. Thank you in Petaluma. Thank you, Anonymous and Martinez. Woof woof, pledging for Green Heart. It's a fabulous book. Thank you, Anonymous in San Jose. KPFA continues to be a beacon providing vital light in the darkest. And it's also how we meet as a community of good-hearted people. Yes. So, you know, and thank you, Ernesto in San Jose. Ooh, bless your heart. Magic amount of money. It's all magic, right? Make it a quirky, surprising amount. That's good, like Ernesto did. Really great. Cameron in Oakland. Wonderful. I love this station. Keep looking forward. Wonderful. Anonymous is such a great human, Anonymous in Forestville. Great show as always, Caroline. Very moving story about the deer, but I need a bit of cheering up now, so what better than a donation? Much to cheer you also in this book. Fantastic. I mean, the trees are rooting for us. We're rooting for them. They're rooting for us. Partnership. Thank you, Robert in American Canyon, California. Ancient wisdom needed for today. Yes. Thank you, Marty in Oakland, California. Thank you. That's wonderful. Let's keep it rolling, team. We've got 2.5 minutes. Let's do it. Let's rock out. You know, so here we are, you know, in the middle of Act Four. You know, but ingenuity, the ingenuity of humans partnering with the ingenuity and intelligence in nature, and our humbled respect for the intelligence of trees, of leaves, of, you know, the water, of the fungi, of the everything. You know, it's only really, again, as Herbert Reed said, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. Yes, AI, but the huge environmental devastation. Keep that in mind. It's like a gray shroud. It's not, you know, so here's this clean communication. You know, radio is really wonderful. It's telepathic community. So again, exhorting, surprise us all with goodness. 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. And again, it's such a good book. I have underlinings everywhere. I've planned to read from it, but the time is short. A leaf is a perfect case of intelligent design in nature. Whole thing on leaves, just holding a leaves. She's got a great example of being nervous before a talk. The person before her was overprepared, and she goes, "Let me take a moment." She goes out, and she goes, and then she runs into somebody who goes, "Oh, just hold this leaf." And she goes, "The leaf. The leaf will tell me what to say." You know, and then she holds the leaf and goes back and gives her talk and rocks out. Thank you, Dolores. Thank you, Dolores, so much in Richmond, California. Thank you. Let's keep it rolling. Here we go. We have a minute. A minute is a long time. Think of how long a minute of dead air would be on the radio, right? A long, long time. So let's keep it rocking that way. We've got 1 minute. 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. This is such a good book, Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of Forests, and such a wonderful, wonderful human. We've hosted her many times on this show. So you're pledging to keep Diana Beresford Kroger's voice online, the voice of people who speak on behalf of what they love, with years and decades of dedication, and for all of us to tease everything we've ever studied into practice. And if we all did what we knew, we'd all be in pretty good shape. So right now, this is trickster time. Trickster comes alive in times of great danger. So we're talking to your trickster self, you know, that comes alive in each one of us and in nature, that we cooperate with the part of us that comes alive in times of danger and that, you know, goes against all odds. Perfect, like Granny Weatherwax. We can do this. 1,000,000 to 1 chances crop up 9 times out of 10 if your heart is dedicated. So by the power of dedication, call with your, may your dedicated heart call 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. Thank you, team. Thank you also, Kirsten Tom, always Kirsten Thomas. I'm Caroline Casey, coyotenetworknews.com for more information. And thank you. We did pretty darn tootin' good. Thank you, team of dedicated citizens. Mwah. Oh, yeah, get it.